Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PFS Global Support Podcast. Our mission is to provide support, guidance, and coping strategies for thousands upon thousands of men the world over afflicted with post-finasteride syndrome. While medical researchers are learning more about this devastating condition in an effort to cure it, we're here to listen to your experiences, share them across borders, and learn firsthand how finasteride can negatively impact not only those who've taken the prescription medication, but their loved ones as well. Together, we can tackle this growing epidemic and put an end to it for future generations.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. My name is Amir Karkouti, and I'm your host of the PFS Global Support Podcast. And today, surprisingly, I know this is called the PFS Podcast, but we are actually going to be talking to somebody that took saw palmetto, which is also a 5-AR inhibitor, which reduces your DHT so you don't lose your hair. And consequently, people who take saw palmetto also happen to get the same exact symptoms of PFS because they're both 5-AR inhibitors. Now, before we get our guest James on the line, I wanted to say a couple things that's in the news. Number one, there's a Paxil study, which is about from 14 years ago. A leading drug maker published a study showing that antidepressant Paxil was safe and effective for teenagers. Well, on Wednesday, a major medical journal posted a new analysis of the same data, concluding that the opposite is true. And that study, featured prominently by the journal BMJ, says is a clear break from scientific custom and reflects a new era in scientific publishing. And some experts say that it's opening a new way for journals to post multiple interpretations of the same experiment. Now, what they're basically saying is they thought this drug was completely safe for teenagers. Now they're saying it's not safe at all. And the co-author, Dr. David Healy, also actually appeared to be on the PFS Global Support Podcast. And he's really into seeing what's going on with PFS as well. And I wouldn't be surprised in the near future that we're going to see something in the New York Times saying that we were wrong about finasteride. So stay tuned. You know, these things are starting to come out of the woodworks. And one last thing before we get James on the line. Men's Journal just recently wrote by a lady named Lisa Marshall. She wrote about, is a hair loss or are hair loss drugs safe? Sorry, I can't talk today. I don't know what's going on. But are hair loss drugs safe? And they're finding out that, prescription drugs like finasteride, better known as Propecia, are starting to merge with a slew of lawsuits suggesting that finasteride may be more dangerous than previously believed, with side effects inability to orgasm, painful erections, chronic depression, insomnia, brain fog, suicidal thoughts that can last long after patients stop taking the pill. Now, they actually answer something that I went through, which is, well, if that's the case, why aren't so many people coming out and saying that finasteride is such a big problem for them? Well, it turns out that many men have no idea that cognitive side effects would have anything to do with a hair loss pill, particularly if those problems continue if they stop taking the drug. Well, that's what happened to me. I stopped taking the drug 3 months after I started getting the symptoms. Now, why would I in my head know that what I took 3 months ago was going to affect me like this, let alone a hair drug pill? And I went to dozens of doctors. They had no idea what it is. So I think that the 1 or 2% of side effects people say that people are getting, I think it's a lot more because a lot of people aren't actually, they don't know what it's coming from. And secondly, another thing is a lot of men are embarrassed. They don't want to go to their doctor and say what's happening to them. They're keeping it to themselves. They're killing themselves, literally, or keeping themselves hidden in their house, removing conversations with their family. So a lot of those people aren't getting accounted for as well. And just to give you a heads up, since 2011, there's been 1,245 lawsuits that have been filed against Propecia's manufacturer, Merck, alleging that the company failed to warn users of a constellation of sexual and cognitive side effects. Dr. Stephen Belknap says patients and physicians have been falsely reassured and this was written in JAMA Dermatology in April. He reviewed 34 clinical trials performed on finasteride and found that none adequately assessed safety and all underreported potential adverse effects. Mr. Belknap says this is stunning. Here we are 18 years after the initial approval, and if someone were to ask me if this drug is safe, I would have to say, don't know. And of course, Merck's made a statement. It says it conducted well-designed clinical trials. And of course, if Merck is telling you that, it must be true. That's kind of like if you ask my mom, are her sons good looking? I'm sure my mom would say absolutely not, right? Because she doesn't have any agenda. But with that being said, let's get James right on the line. Let's see if he's here. Mr. James, are you here?
Yep.
Awesome. Well, James, I want to thank you so much for getting on the call. As I was mentioning in the beginning of the show, you did not take finasteride, did you?
Nope, I took saw palmetto.
So you took saw palmetto. So let's start with, how long ago was this? How long ago did you start saw palmetto, and why did you take it to begin with?
It was just over 10 years ago, and pretty much all through my childhood, I had what I had assumed to be a prostate issue. I think it was more of a pelvic floor issue now looking back, but I would go to urinate and kind of have a very weak split stream, and I would stop and start a lot, and basically took saw palmetto thinking it would fix a prostate issue and help that clear up.
And so you originally did not take it for hair loss then?
Correct.
Okay. And so you took it for how many years was that now?
I really didn't take it for very long. I think it was just over a few weeks or a few months.
You took it for a few weeks or a few months. And let me ask you, how did you even get the idea of taking saw palmetto for that?
My mom and my grandmother are massage therapists, so they've kind of always been like on the holistic side. They didn't tell me to use it, but just kind of looking through some of their nutritionist books that they had laying around, I'd kind of identified that as something that could potentially help.
Okay, and so for the people that are listening, saw palmetto is a 5-AR inhibitor, just like finasteride. And I've actually spoken to several people that have taken saw palmetto, and just from talking to them, they literally have the identical side effects that I have. And because they took a natural, that they would be okay. And it sounds like that's what you thought as well.
Yeah, I had no clue that I could have any type of side effect from this. I mean, it's something you go to the store and buy. You know, I was 18 years old at the time. So, I mean, it wasn't something I needed to go to the doctor and get a prescription for.
Yeah, you can literally go to the grocery store, pick up your fruits, vegetables, and your drinks, and get saw palmetto right off the shelf as well. So you don't think much of it. So
right.
Let's get right to it then. With that being said, when did you actually find out that you started to get side effects, and what kind of side effects were they?
I started to get sick, and it actually turned into strep throat. But overall, my crash that people, call a crash kind of involved me getting sick. And I just remember going to bed one night during this, waking up the next morning, and I was a completely different person. I remember trying to go to urinate in the morning, and I could not feel my penis at all. There was no feeling. I was dribbling into the toilet and couldn't barely push out a stream. And I kind of knew something was wrong then, but obviously I didn't know I had PFS or something as serious. I didn't think it was a huge deal. A few nights later, tried having sex with my girlfriend at the time, and there was just nothing, like no blood flow at all, no feeling, no anything. And that's when I knew something was wrong. I didn't know I had PFS at the time. Eventually I went and saw Dr. Chrysler, in Michigan, who's a pretty world-renowned TRT doctor. But even before that, I used a ton of different supplements, Yohimbe and bunch of test boosters. Nothing really did anything. Started TRT with Dr. Chrysler, did that for a few years, and I just did not respond to androgens at all in any way. So I think it took a few, probably like 3 or 4 years before I started reading about PFS, and my jaw just kind of dropped. I had the exact symptoms as everybody. I used a 5-AR inhibitor, so to me, there was no question. I knew right then I had finally found what was wrong with me.
Wow, so your story is very similar to mine. So you weren't going on forums going, oh, yeah, it's PFS, and then getting the symptoms. You actually got the symptoms, and you were completely ignorant of where it was coming from. So those symptoms were just, they weren't coming from your head. They weren't placebo. These were real symptoms that you were getting.
Right. I mean, I thought maybe I just had low testosterone at one point. You know, I thought maybe I got sick during this crash and I didn't even know about 5-AR inhibitors. So for a long time, I was thinking like maybe I just have some weird antibodies from the illness that I had, some viral infection or something. So I had, you know, so many different theories that I went through before I even found out about PFS.
Now, you had said that you went to some 10-plus doctors and hundreds of medications. You spent thousands of dollars. What was happening? Tell me a little bit about what was happening when you're going to these doctors. Were they not believing you, or they didn't know what was going on?
Most of them didn't really believe me. Some of them, functional medicine doctors, are the ones I found to be the most accepting. Lots of them had dealt with some Accutane issues, but nobody was really ever able to help. And I mean, any doctor is willing to take your money over and over again. So they're going to keep telling you that, you know, patients that they've improved with similar symptoms and all this. But yeah, I went to probably over 10 doctors, lots of them nationally known doctors. I probably spent $20,000 to $30,000 at least. And in total, I've probably tried at least 100 different herbs, vitamins, medications, at least 100, probably closer to 200.
Wow. That's amazing. And each doctor you went to, you know, for me, you know, my doctor started me with Adderall and said I had attention deficit disorder. Then when I told him I couldn't get erections, he said, oh, you just, you know, it's your testosterone must be low. You know, you're getting older. And I would literally be going back to the doctor for something new. And they were just trying to fix the part that I was coming in for. And it never occurred to them to see what was going on holistically. Was there anything like that with you where they're just trying to figure out specific things to fix? Or did they have any idea where to start?
Not really. I mean, they all come from their own specialty, so they just kind of look at the problem from their specialty. Dr. Chrysler with, you know, testosterone. My original doctor I went to, my family doctor, literally laughed at me and just told me it had to be in my head, and that's about it. So, I mean, like I said, functional medicine doctors I found to be the most helpful, not that, you know, they have a cure or anything. But after you go to so many doctors and spend so much time and money and lots of them just kind of laugh at you, it kind of just makes you want to stop altogether, at least through doctors.
Yeah, I completely feel you, especially it's a, you know, the thing with PFS, and you might agree, it's a very lonely diagnostic. Like when you know that you can't get an erection, when you know that, you know, your penis is flaccid and you don't feel it, it's surreal. It's like a twilight zone. You know that's happening, and then you're going to the doctors that are supposed to help you, and they're looking at you like, I have no idea what you're talking about, if anything. And they go on to say that it's in your head. It's devastating, especially because, you know, especially for us males, that's a pretty big deal.
Right.
So let me see.
I think, you know, it's hitting you from multiple ways because, for one, you can't get an erection. And, I mean, where's your manhood if you can't even get an erection? But then PFS affects you in so many other ways, you know, cognitively, brain fog and energy, and physically and mentally. I mean, before I had PFS, I was in my senior year of high school, and I had scholarship offers, colleges, and four different sports. I eventually ended up accepting one to basketball, and then I can't even play basketball. I mean, it seems like so many of the stories I read, at least on Propecia Help, a ton of the guys were kind of like great athletes or CEOs, like really, I guess, popular or
high level, like high level.
Yeah, high level socioeconomic men. And so it seems like maybe more of them are being affected by the drug. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking into that too much. But it seems like so many of the stories I read, very few of them are guys who, you know, didn't really have much of a life or were lazy.
You know, it's funny you say that, James, because that was one of the sole reasons my wife's, you know, she was my girlfriend at the time, but my wife knew something was wrong because exactly that. I was I'm an entrepreneur. I own businesses. I have a coaching practice. I'm always the life of the party. I'm always that one that's outgoing. And next thing you know, I didn't want to do anything. So she knew we had to be wrong because, like I said, I think that's why people who are high level and all of a sudden they don't want to do anything, it really sticks out for their family and friends. Like, you know, one day they have four scholarships, and the next day all they want to do is sit at home. You're like, well, what happened to this guy? That doesn't make sense. And that's another thing. It's when people say it's in your head and it's all made up, there's a lot of people that I've spoken to that happen to be very successful, very personable, and it's not like they sit at home depressed to begin with. These are people like you, such as yourself. I didn't even know that you had four scholarships. It takes a lot of work to get to where you're at. And people like you don't all of a sudden, from my experience, decide one day, you know, I'm just going to throw it all away for no good reason. I don't know. When you said you had four scholarships and you didn't want to do it, what were some things that stopped you from doing it or continuing? Was it your energy levels or what was?
Yeah, I actually did end up accepting a basketball scholarship. So I went into my freshman year of college on the basketball team. And just going through training, lifting weights, I couldn't lift what I used to be able to lift, and I would get exhausted way before I used to. Ended up just really wearing down on my body. My body just felt weak all the time, and even mentally, I just didn't feel like I could do any of it anymore. So halfway through the season, I ended up just quitting, and I mean, that was that as far as my athletic career went. You know, recovered enough to where I could be at a collegiate level again and just kind of feel athletically, mentally, like a shell of what my former self was, I guess.
Yep. And so let me ask you, with it's been a while now, how are you doing now? How's the tell me a little bit about your road to recovery. Was there a particular doctor or was this something that you read that kind of gave you the light where you saw the light and went on your road to recovery, or what's been happening?
Yes. I'd say my path to recovery, I'm definitely not recovered. Although I will say energy wise, brain fog wise, cognitive issues, I'm near maybe 90%. Which at one point I was at like 20%. I was way in the dumps. And I just kind of started looking over my own blood work, kind of became my own doctor, started ordering a ton of medications from overseas pharmacies and playing around with stuff. I mean, I've tried some medications that never in my life would I have expected I would have tried. When I really started focusing on like adrenals and thyroid, that adrenal specifically, taking hydrocortisone, and it took me months to figure out the right dosing and timage, but when I did, that really gave me a huge boost. And so between that and then later adding natural desiccated thyroid, that's really pushed me pretty far energy and cognitive-wise. My sexual side effects are still completely at zero. I mean, I could almost label myself as asexual. I do not ever get horny. I don't ever feel the need to have sex or masturbate. I mean, it's been over 10 years now, and nothing there has really changed. Like I said, when I take any type of androgen, I'm completely non-responsive. I've tried about 8 different forms of testosterone. I've tried DHT injections, all of that, tons of steroids, just nothing works at all.
Yeah, man, I feel you. That's exactly what happened to me as well, where I was like a 90-year-old man, where cognitively I couldn't think. I would look at my wife and she would look at me and talk to me for 20 minutes and she said, "Did you hear me?" And I'm like, "I'm so sorry. I don't know anything that you said." And when with the help of my doctor, Dr. Erwin Goldstein, all that stuff got fixed. But you're absolutely right. My libido is still at zero. Like it's not like I even think about it. Like it doesn't even come to my mind. It's like I don't think about broccoli. And it's not because I have a choice. I just don't think about broccoli on a regular basis. And that's kind of what happened with sex for me. It's like broccoli. It's just I don't think about it. Is that kind of what it is for you?
Exactly. It's just nothing's there at all.
No sexual thinking, huh?
None at all. And I should say, there was a point, there was a product called Dimatize. Was a company that made it, and it was called Z-Force. It had tribulus in it. It had L-DOPA, like mucunopurines, I think is how you pronounce it. It eventually converts to dopamine, and it had some other stuff in it. That was the one product I could take, and after a few weeks of taking it, I actually recovered 100%. Eventually, it faded away, and I would have to cycle on and off of it. And it got to a point over about a year of doing that where it just never worked again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you hear tons of stories where people recover or start to feel better and then it just fades away. That was the same story with that. But that product has changed, so you can't even get that product anymore.
Yeah. And also, with this being said, let me ask you, for people that, you know, saw palmetto right now is getting really popular, and it has been for a very long time for hair loss. There's a lot of hair loss products that, you know, both topical and ingestible. I think topical, I think, is okay for your hair, but the ones that are ingesting it, what would you say to people if someone is new to saw palmetto and comes to you and says, "Listen, James, I'm losing my hair, and I know that you've been on it." What would be the one single advice that you would give to them?
Just don't take it. I mean, somebody who hasn't experienced these side effects, you can't just explain it to them and have them really digest what it's like to have PFS. And I don't expect anybody to really take that advice. I mean, even within the past few years, I knew I had PFS, and I still tried taking Rogaine. Any person that sees my hair would say I'm not balding at all, but I personally think I'm receding a little bit. I've tried Rogaine in the past few years, and that made me worse. So, I mean, I would say stay away from Rogaine, stay away from anything topical, any type of 5-AR inhibitor, really. Just stay away as far as you can.
Cool, man. And I'm trying to see, I was before you got on here, I don't know if you were listening, but I was listening to, I was reading about the Men's Health, Men's Journal. They wrote about are hair loss drugs safe? And one of the things that they said, and I think that's kind of where you're at too, or where you were at, is they say many men have no idea that cognitive side effects would have anything to do with a hair loss pill. Now, in your particular instance, you'd never thought saw palmetto, which is you know, a drug you can get at the grocery store, would have any effects to your cognitive functions. And considering that after you stop taking it, once your 5-AR inhibitors have been messed around with, once your hormone panels have been messed around with at least I know from experience with finasteride, they never really go back to what they were originally supposed to be like. And I'm guessing that's where you were at with it too, right? So once you stopped taking it and you crashed, you probably didn't put the two together.
No, I didn't. And what's really interesting is I've had different labs run. My 5-AR enzymes, the activity is actually normal, so normal levels. So, you know, I would never look at my testosterone to DHT ratio and see that I have low 5-AR or any of the other. I know Rain Labs, they do a 5-AR panel that I've done. So I think, you know, looking into the research and what the PFS Foundation seems to think, you know, I would have to say the issue may be more towards silencing of the AR gene or something in that area, because 5-AR level for me is fine. My DHT level is fine. So had I never ran across, I think Propecia Help is where I first found out about PFS, I still probably 10 years later would be chasing the tail trying to figure out what the heck was wrong with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have to say, I can't thank you enough for being on this show, because typically we get people that have taken finasteride, and it's only because I just recently started being the new host of this podcast, and I got so many emails from people that say, hey, do you want me to be on it? I've been taking Saw Palmetto, and I have the exact same symptoms. So you're the first person that I've interviewed that's taken Saw Palmetto, and it was a wonderful interview. I want to thank you again for taking some time to tell us a little bit about your story and what's going on. Let me ask you, I guess I want to leave on a higher note. What was the best learning lesson, and what's been positive about your experience with everything that you went? I know that's a kind of a weird question, but anything good come out of this?
Yeah, actually kind of two points to that. One is I have an interest in how the body works and kind of the biochemistry and like anti-aging that I probably never would have before. I take care of my body, eat better, way better than what I probably would have. And if I ever recover, if we ever find a cure, I foresee myself living much happier and healthier than I ever would because of the lows of PFS that I've experienced. So no, in no way am I happy that I have PFS, and in no way do I wish it on anyone. But just kind of the low of it gives me hope that in the future I'll be able to appreciate life and happiness and sexuality and all that in a way that I probably never would have before.
I love what you said. And one of the things that's kept me afloat and actually sane is I made the problem into a project. And I think that's what you're saying. Instead of just saying, oh, I just have this problem, you went and said, okay, this is going to be my pet project. I'm going to figure out how the body works. I'm going to figure out what my panels are saying. I'm going to go figure out what, you know, what these interactions do to the body. That's actually what's kept me sane too, because for a very long time, when you're lost, you don't know where to look. And now it's kind of like, okay, I know I have this thing, but let's see what I can do to live, you know, the best life I can, knowing I have this particular situation. So, you know, the problem versus a project, I think that's a beautiful way to sum this up. And James, right. Again, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Is there any last things that you want to say before we jump off this call?
Yeah, I guess I would just say everybody try to support the PFS Foundation. If you have any extra money, send it their way. You know, we've been trying for 10 or 15 years. People have been trying to fix this themselves, and we have a legit nonprofit organization trying to help us. So just send the money their way.
Can you say that name one more time?
The PFS Foundation.
Okay, the PFS Foundation. And they're a nonprofit group. If you want to donate money, you can go there. They have news and all that stuff. There's news on what PFS is and what's going on. I think the latest latest studies and all that. So it's a wonderful website, and that is a wonderful way to end this. And again, James, I want to thank you again. Would you be willing to come on the show in the future and just kind of tell us more and update us as to what's going on?
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for reaching out, and thank you again for coming on the show. And hopefully we hear, you know, your story on a positive note, and hopefully people listening, you know, if you're thinking about getting on Saw Palmetto, just please listen to this, re-listen to it over, talk to people that have taken it, go on the PFS website, talk to doctors that actually know what PFS is, and, you know, make a wise decision. Again, James, I want to thank you again, and thank you for everyone listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Take care, James.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to PFS Global Support, where we offer coping strategies to thousands upon thousands of men afflicted with post-finasteride syndrome. We're here to share your experiences across borders and learn firsthand how finasteride can negatively impact not only those who've taken the prescription medication, but their loved ones as well. Together, we can tackle PFS and put an end to this growing epidemic for future generations.